Okay, LA.
Can't get no food at all. Mommy, I cry. Daddy, I ball. Can't get no food at all.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 1st of July, 2010. Happy Canada Day. And hopefully you're enjoying this little State of the Union CD. My colleague at the Demon's Lair recommended it as I was looking for possibly some reggae this morning. I was going to bring in the YSA guys CD, YISAYGAWD, which I'd played before on the show, and which the artist, YSA God, gave to me. So shout-outs to YSA God. Sorry for not having the CD today again. For a second here, I forgot to bring it. But yeah, I'm in a bit of a mood. I got to be honest with you, here on July 1st, 2010, Canada Day, I am in a bit of a mood, a bit of a tizzy. And one of the reasons that I'm tizzying is I'm watching the effects of the G20 psychological operation on the people of this city, my city, which I'll say anytime I get a chance to. And you know, we got a great city here, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, and because we got a great city here. We got lots of great things to do, and we're doing them. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's right. One life to live. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. One life to live. Do your thing. You know, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, the only problem with that is that the government recently declared martial law. And that was during the G20 summit last week. Been through a number of tales and trials and tribulations. And, you know, while I found my tribulating, kind of titillating, the point of it all is not lost on me. and so, you know, I do have fun doing this because I have, you know, it's, you know, if you're like Michael Phelps, not that I'm the Michael Phelps of anything, but for argument's sake, if you're like Michael Phelps, and the swimmer, he won like 74 gold medals at the Olympics last year in China. And this is a swimmer and you know, dude used to listen to a lot of hip hop and he said Young Jeezy's favorite rapper. And I just happened to be listening to, Young Jeezy's gangsta music, from his first album, Thug Motivation 101. Let's get it. Thug Motivation 101, where he says himself, I'm not a rapper. I'm a motivational speaker there. Now don't bother me about rapping, how I rap, what I do. And he just puts a tremendous amount of feeling into his grind. And, you know, the paranoid insanity, the highs, the lows. And I kind of take that. And I also take what he's doing, because he's not just talking about himself like a lot of artists do. You know, and he's talking about other people. And in that track, you know, the hook is, you know, all the gangsters, they gonna ride to this. They gonna grind to this. They gonna shine to this. Hey. This is gangsta music, yeah. 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 And then he switches that up with all the hustlers gonna ride to this, and you know, whatever, man. You know, what's interesting to me about, and one of the reasons I'm rocking me a controlled burn, is that people will often choose their nothing over someone else's something to offer. And I don't just mean me. You know, obviously, you know, I was raised in this egocentric culture like everybody else. So certainly, and, you know, yapping for an hour or so straight here on the radio sometimes, you know, that will factor into it. But it really, it for me, at least, you know, archetypically, as I hope, it's more about, look, If you wander off with this and you do something with it, then, you know, something good will happen. And I don't mean that in the fluffy white bunny way. I mean that in the, we have a new world order, an Anglo-American establishment, if you prefer, a system of globalization run by super rich people, if you prefer, you know, where they're globally centralizing their power, they're impoverishing the world, they're threatening us with recessions, crises, quote-unquote police states, corporate bankster states, as it were. And you know, and we just got a witness of that, you know, last week here in Toronto and over the weekend, especially. And we got a witness of how powerless that is. You know, I mean, we're not empowered. Our security forces aren't empowered to stop the violence. You know, in fact, some of them, the evidence suggests, and, you know, previous times they've been caught and admitted it. Some of the evidence suggests that some of our security forces were actually behind the violence, you know, because I got to be honest with you, here on Canada Day, you know, July 1st, 2010, you know, we got to cut the crap here. We got to think a bit. Who's got the stones in a city where there are 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks driving around in unmarked vehicles, for God's sakes? You know, and there's helicopters buzzing the city all the time. You know, and you know, there's got to be some plain clothes guys. You know, it's not like they're all, you know, obviously, you know, at this point. And they are private contractors or mercenaries. So, yeah, if the government couldn't handle security for this, we did go private, you know. we went to private contractors, and then they couldn't handle it. But who's got the stones to jump up and down in a police car and set it on fire in a city where you know there's 10,000 cops? Who the hell would do that? I mean, look, I'm not saying the L.A. riots this, you know, sports championship that. You know, there are circumstances where people just act stupid and do whatever. Although some of those, I'm assuming, are provocateur, too, just to get, you know, this whole system, problem, reaction, solution system going to increase the state's, you know, control over us by stressing the reason for the state to need control over us. And also it makes us more paranoid. Because, you know, if they stage things, then, you know, and they stage more things than there are that actually happen, then we think people are crazier than they are. So, we just got a taste of martial law in this part of the country. And looking at, you know, what's happening. And, you know, I can't say for sure. I'd you know, what would I want to be? What do I know is happening? I don't know what's happening. I'm not in people's homes. I don't know how we do things here in communist Canada. Nobody does. We don't talk about it. That's why we're communists. And you know, the government's evil. They just did something horribly evil. Yeah, this is like them if they locked down Moscow. You know, if you know, there was some big international summit in the 1950s, 60s, you know, whatever, 70s. 80s, for that matter, communist Soviet Union, USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, as I remember it on maps from my childhood. And the maps from your children's childhood won't have any countries on them. If we allow this world government system to, you know, to take hold completely, a system of groupthink and group control and essentially socio-political-economico-cultural lobotomization, where, you know, we don't care. Like we just deal with things, you know. Like we're a bunch of children, and, you know, our big brother or our father figure, whatever, you know, can just walk into our room late at night once in a while, do something, you know, untoward, and then the next day, you know, tell us to run along and play. Sometimes maybe buy us a shiny toy, you know, and say, here, you know, here's some candy, you know, and now run along and play. And you know, we never say, hey, whoa, thanks for the candy. I mean, you know, love candy, but can you promise that this crap will never happen again, please? Thank you. And if you don't, well, I'm going to have to take some measures to make sure it doesn't anyway. And you know what? And people will make excuses. And that's why I'm kind of like, all right, you know what? you know, it's kind of over. I can't make eye contact with any chicks right now. I just can't. I'm like, until there's some goddamn men in the city to protect you in case martial law is declared again, in case, you know, foreign troops are used this time, you know, or foreign cops or foreign soldiers, and we kind of accept it because of the international, you know, they'll sell us some crap in the media. They're just going to use, they have to get us used to this narrative in stages. First is security and the need for this much security. Then it'll be the need for this much security, but they got to come from other this because ours are there and all this nonsense. And if those guys decide to start getting a little frisky, like soldiers have been known to, you know, watch any of your classic, you know, Vietnam War movies. You know, here tales of the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, or tales from the group behind the green zone, you know, of soldiers getting frisky with their own, you know, female. That's why the chicks should be in the army. I mean, you know, you can if you want. And it's all this, all that stuff. But I mean, come on. You know, if it's a job and it's a serious job, not just, you know, stealing, you know, other countries' stuff for, you know, rich Western elitists, you know, globalists, you know, or Eastern ones for that matter, or whatever. You know, if you're a real soldier and you get a real job, you know, and you're not just in the 9-year-old war in Afghanistan going, oh, we're getting closer. Yeah. The Taliban have been struck a major blow. It's like, you know what you can do with that major blow. Anyway, then you know, then there's some risk involved, you know, and there's some whatever, and some women can do it, but you know the problem with and this is from Dr. Henry M A K O W Henry Macau. He actually prefers Henry Macau, but it's just harder to say. And he's at Henry NMAKOW.com. You can also Google Black Krishna. This is your host, BKAK Black Krishna. Ah, damn, call signs. Freak. Sorry, folks. The computer isn't working today. That's one of the reasons why, you know, you didn't hear the CKLN call sign or any funky clips so far. So we'll get that taken care of. It is Canada Day, and you know, yours truly can play through the pain. And we're going to take calls, too. It's 24 after. For the last half an hour, I'm going to take calls. But I just need to lay out a couple of things. So, you know, there's an interview called Feminism. The problem with the people who give us our problems. And it has nothing to do with women, nothing to do with what they want to do, has nothing to do with, you know, what they should be denied to do or encouraged to do or whatever. It has to do with who's doing that. And, you know, Aaron Russo, filmmaker, Hollywood filmmaker, made Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. Nick Nolte made The Rose with Bette Midler. Produced those, I think. And he directed, though, America Free Into Fascism, and he had directed his own stuff. But America Free Into Fascism is about the U.S. Federal Reserve Private Bank, which is set up by private super rich people at an island off the coast of Georgia. There's a great book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. By G. Edward Griffin. And again, many, many people corroborate this, and you can find documentation on it and so on. But basically, these guys got together, these wealthy central banksters, and they said, we're going to form a central bank, even though it's one of the chief planks of the Communist Manifesto. You need a central bank. In true sort of free market capitalism, you couldn't have that. You wouldn't have this one bank that controls the whole economy, because it's a managed economy. It's a Soviet economy. You know, that's how they do it. They have one bank, they set interest rates, and they set this, and then the market doesn't do it. And, you know, the market has its own issues, but, you know, at least if you separate the market from government, the government can kick the market's butt once in a while. If you combine the government and the market together, then they tend to both, you know, they work together to screw you. So, anyway, Aaron Russo, you know, made this film about these banksters that created the United States Federal Reserve System, which prints money from nothing, prints money out of thin air, loans it to Congress, who asked to borrow it, and then Congress makes sure they tax the American people to pay back the U.S. Federal Reserve. And that whole process of borrowing money at interest and having that interest, you know, become greater and greater and having your country be unable to pay that is the worldwide sort of model for how these central banksters have taken over control over, you know, every country. And I know here in Communist Canada, some people, it's funny, I say this, and humor and things and surprise, and you get whatever. I'm at the Kinko's yesterday. I'm chopping up some fresh new flyers. Just designed them last night after going offline, going Renegade. Oh, and I couldn't get online last night. 5 bars of signal strength. I made a couple little videos. I don't even put all this crap up. But 5 bars of signal strength. And that didn't work. And I tried, a couple of different things, checked everything that it said I was on, but I couldn't get on. And then I tried it with the cable in and I couldn't get on. So I just thought that was weird. I don't know what that means, but when you have, all that stuff saying, you are effectively connected to the internet and it's going back and forth, the signal's fine and all this crap. And then you can't actually access any web pages. I couldn't update my campaign site, which I was planning on doing, and so on. Then hey, there may be some chicanery afoot. But anyway, back to the feminism, back to Aaron Russo. So Russo is a successful Hollywood, producer, and Nick Rockefeller, one of the members of the Rockefeller family, sees his some film he's done, some films, some work, some video. Some television special, something like that. And says, hey, I want to meet that guy. That guy looks like an interesting guy. He's a big-time Hollywood guy and Rockefeller. Rich people love celebrities. Celebrities love rich people. It's an incestuous little, relationship they have going. So, they became friends. I mean, they were politically opposed for the most part, but, that happens in cultures. There's left-wing and right-wing guys that are friends and, all that crap. So they talk about things. And one day Nick Rockefeller says to him, hey, Aaron, what feminism was about? And Aaron goes, I don't know. Equal right to vote, equal right to work, equal right to this. And Nick Rockefeller says, Aaron, you're so stupid. To Aaron, Aaron's like, what are you talking about? What do you call me that for? What the hell's your problem? And Nick Rockefeller says, why do you think our family blew it up all over the media? Why do you think we put it all in the papers? And why do you think we put it all through education? And why do you think we funded all those activist groups? And it came out later, Ms. Magazine, Gloria Steinem, funded by the CIA, and Betty Friedan, former communist, agitator. Social engineers, basically. Just social engineers, that's all. But what are they doing it for? Are they doing it for us or doing it for someone else? Well, so on with the story. So Nick Rockefeller says to Aaron Russo, he says, the reason we promoted the crap out of it everywhere is because we want to break up the family and get women, competing with men. Not that they shouldn't, whatever, at whatever. But, for thousands of years, a guy was like, I love my woman. She supports me. And, women were like, I love my man. He protects me. And if any ish goes down, as has been known to happen, like last week in Toronto, people were pretty happy with that relationship, or the village was attacked and so on. So Rockefeller says, wanted to bring up the family, and half the population wasn't working. They weren't working. So they weren't paying any taxes and they weren't giving us any labor. So we were like, oh, screw this. Just have half of you sitting at home taking care of the kids. No. We need you working. And we need to tell you that you're doing it for you. But, we know you're doing it for us because it's our companies. And they, they'll tie in some good things and some necessary changes, no doubt. But again, you can't take the bathwater with the baby if I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You feel me? You can't just keep everything when some of it's crap. And so half of them weren't working. And then we got the kids earlier. Now we get the kids like 5, like 3. These days there's daycares in America where you can take your kid at 6 months. 6 months. And my buddy just told me, oh my God, this is the scariest crap I've ever heard. My buddy just told me that there are baby sleep coaches out there. Baby sleep coaches at $300 an hour. Might take you a week, 2 weeks to do it. You sign a contract with them because parents, you have separation anxiety. Because you parents have separation anxiety. Because someone told you did. And they hang out with your kid alone And they make sure the kid sleeps, I suppose. Although, part of me, you know, thinks that, you know. Well, anyway, the point is it's stupid. And so Buddy's telling about his buddy doing this, and they're dropping a couple of grand on this baby sleep coach. And they're thinking that that they're way too anxious to do this because an expert told them they were way too anxious to, you know, leave their baby alone if the baby's crying, you know, unless he's crying like crazy, and then go get him. And, you know, I mean, people used to figure things out before we had experts. And before we were emasculated and turned into children. So wrap up the feminism thing. What they used to do, and this is again the same, you know, slave owners, is on on slave plantations. And again, I don't care at this point. At this point, I don't care how you want to roll. You roll however you want to. This is just a bit of history, and you can't be scared of history, because once you understand something, you can decide what you want to do. And, you know, I've said this crap to women, and there's women that are like, oh, okay, interesting. And they, you know, they just sort of reevaluate their take on the whole thing, and they still keep their, you know, I'm a strong badass chick and I do my thing. But they also, you know, remember, you know, to watch for being pushed into doing something that's not their thing. And that's a male thing. And that they can get some, you know, acclaim for, you know, they can get some, like, people will say, oh, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, that's great. But that they themselves may not necessarily feel happy about doing. You know, this is promiscuity. I know girls who've been nice girls, but they've been hanging out with, you know, other nice girls, I suppose. But in the, you know, in the old world sense of, not the brave new one, in the old world sense of, you know, didn't sleep around type nice girls. So they were hanging around with girls that you know, did or whatever, and these girls were feeling whatever. They couldn't find a dude, you know, no dudes worth finding or whatever, and you know, they were encouraged to you know, sleep around a bit. And I've talked to them because they talk to me, because I say anything, so people say anything to me. And so I you know, I'm blessed to be, I mean, I'm cursed in the sense that, you know, it's you know, I probably couldn't go for a beer with anybody right now. You know, I'm like a pit bull, you know, handy to have around in case of a home invasion or something. But, you know, you're worried if I stick around, I might eat your head. So, you know, so it is what it is. But they've told me they weren't happy about that choice. Not relative to other ones they were aware of. Not relative to a healthy relationship. Not relative to, you know, archetypes they'd seen and dreams they'd had of not being alone in the world, you know. And this is not, and again, I got to do the Communist Canada caveat, this is not to say that everyone can't, you just got to look at other examples to make sure you're constantly not just defending your opinion but improving it, adding to it. And not just random crap, stripping away things from it. You know, maybe you thought, you know, X, Y, and Z were bad, but maybe now it's just, you know, X and Y. And so, you know, anyway, the pointy-headed point is that in general, HenryMAKOW.com, you can Google Henry Mackow and Black Krishna, you can find that interview from 2007, which is still classic. It's 45 minutes, classic. You know, it's been downloaded 300 times. And I still pass it on now and share it, and nobody fronts, you know. You know, they may have difficulty passing it on, but but again, that's the problem, you know, with living here in Communist Canada. I met Kinko's yesterday. I cut those flyers and get them cut in half once. I hand them to the cool brown dude, and people know me by now, so it's, you know, people are pretty laid back and you know, cool with me, and yada yada yada, and so, you know, I hand it to him. He starts reading it. And I said, no, I just put this in the back. I said, whenever I approach a business, you know, I don't need to talk to the customers, just the staff. and he starts reading it. And I just said, oh, you know what, dude, just put that in the back. Read that later. You know, don't worry about it. It's how we do here in Communist Canada. Like, 3-4 people just look at me like in shock. But they're not, they're not, but and this happens all the time, but they're not disagreeing. They're not laughing like I'm a moron. They're just like, ah, crap. You know, we have all this crazy stuff going on, government doing all this crazy stuff, and we don't want to talk about it. And we certainly don't want to do anything about it. You know, when sometimes talking leads to doing, sometimes it just leads to more talking, or sometimes it leads to nothing. But you know, inevitably before doing, there's got to be some, what are you going to do? And speaking of what are you going to do, I got some I Magazine here, I got some Now Magazine here to break down. No Metro paper today, did break down a bit of yesterday's, but, you know, in a nutshell, your thoughts here on Canada Day about the state of the union. If you disagree with me, please call in. I may disagree with you, just please don't take that personally. And I'm not going to try and bully pulpit anybody because I don't take enough calls in this damn show, and that's my own fault. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you never know. But the number here is 416-595-1655. Again, 416-595-1655. Here on CKLN Rude Awakening on 88.1 CKLN, CKLN on the FM broadband dial, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You know, and again, people didn't want me, whoever the hell I am, to be saying this stuff. So I was like, fine. Instead of me just continuing to try saying this stuff, but, you know, necessarily through, you know, social constipation, saying it poorly and half-assedly, and then, you know, maybe knowing a fair amount, but not being in a very confident or comfortable or capable position to communicate it, I just said, well, screw all you guys then. I'll make someone else who can. And he's just, he's not going to hold back because I don't think I should have to hold back. But if I have to hold back, well, then fine, I'll hold back. But he's not going to hold back. And if 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks come to this city, occupy and terrorize it through, you know, some fault of their own, but not much relative to who we really should be aiming at, you know, then I'm going to do what I can to do what I can. And, you know, there it is. And I think every other, you know, every other person should, frankly. But because of our socialization and because of how difficult this is and because of some of the concerns involved that may pop up. Oh, I did this crap. You know, I was active during martial law, filming things and postering an alternate message to the one the government wanted to get out, which was, you know, hey, activists, if you really want to take it to us, here's what you do. Show up at this fence, yell at some cops, get your ass kicked and go home. Then maybe, or then definitely we'll, you know, take your concerns more seriously. Thank you. And so when the government's pumping that message out there and I'm pumping out a screw the $1 million, you know, G20 quote protest, who wants to yell at a fence and go home? Can we share the non-GMO shopping guide? Seedsofdeception.com. Same title. And then Montreal and Vancouver don't use fluoride. Do they know something we should? Fluoridealert.org. And it's all screw the G20 protest. Who wants to yell at a fence and go home? And then after that, you know, can we save our celebrities? And it's got the cute little picture of Britney, all young and innocent, you know, in a sweater, where you can't see her cleavage. And then in the middle, there's a picture of Miley with her her pointy little crooked, you know, finger, and you know, inviting you to follow her. And then there's a picture on the right of I just randomly doing googling some pictures to find these, but. I did recognize the name Vanessa Hutchins, and her and Zac Efron, I think, make just the cutest, you know, little teenage porno couple. And so this picture of her in lingerie, you know, doing one of those girls are doing all the time now, looking in a mirror, taking pictures of themselves and holding up cameras and taking pictures of themselves and getting their girlfriends to take pictures of themselves and posing for pictures of themselves. And they're trying to look as beautiful as possible. It's like, all right, you know what? You know what? Fine. I mean, for the kids, you know, getting whored out by their, you know, teenage celebrities whoring out, that's no good. But, you know, after a certain age, whatever, fine. Guys, just say thanks and then just deal with this crap. you know, what do you want? Their women are looking more, acting more beautiful and sexy than ever. And if you take on the New World Order, you know, they'll necessarily pick up on it. Because what's interesting, another great clip, another hero of mine, Alan Watt, A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T, who I had the priceless privilege of interviewing twice, once about, well, the whole world, everything with secret societies. I can't believe we skipped that. Or missed that, rather, in an incredibly comprehensive conversation over a couple of hours where we could have kept going. I felt bad about taking up his time, and now I feel bad about ending that interview shorter than I should have. But it was still great, and it's up there. Google Black Krishna and A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T. Someone's also been nice enough to transcribe it. So if you want to read the damn thing, you can read it if you're a reader instead of, you know, listening to, you know, us chat. You know, there's a clip called Heroes, Values, Men, and Women that played from back then where you know, Watt talks about the social engineering experiments in promoting promiscuity and messing with gender relations going back 100 years. And they tried this in Germany. In Germany, they introduced the 60s free love hippie movement back in the 20s. And again, it's a new world order. It's a global empire. I mean, the British Empire ran the world for like 500 years. You remember the old saying? Well, maybe you don't. There was an old saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. And you're like, huh? What do you mean? The sun sets every day. Yeah, but they own the whole world. So, you know, the sun never sets in the British Empire. It's always up somewhere. And you can go to a Royal Bank and look at their logo. That's them. That's the Royal Bank. They got a big British lion's paw on the whole damn world. So, while they have allies, of course, and there's other power brokers there, you know, the Brits and the Queen is the worldwide head of Freemasonry. And that's a big, you know, secret organization that's, you know, part, you know, boys club, part, you know, social mafia, part Queen's intelligence agency, you know, and so on and so forth, part, you know, blood oath, to make sure you handle the great work, even if you get a different job, you know, and so on. And so, you know, in this system here, you know, with respect to our socialization here, back in the 20s, they tried that in Germany, but there was too much fallout from unwanted children because there was no, you know, there was a bunch of kids, you know, orphans, whatever. And people kept getting knocked up, you know, and people didn't want to necessarily be knocked up when, you know, their culture was telling them to hump like bunnies. And so they started doing that. And then there's all these kids and they're like, ah, geez, forgot about that. And then in the 60s, they introduced the pill, the contraceptive pill. And then they were like, okay, now it's on. And, nothing against sex. You know, I've had great relationships. I've had a great run in this country. I mean, I'm still running. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm good. I'm strong. And there are other people out there that, you know, that you know, are in the scrap who I respect, going through stuff and this is not about getting arrested and beaten down. This is just about beating mind control. That's all this is. You know, there's teenagers putting up posters. There's teenagers burning DVDs. There's teenagers, you know, on a megaphone somewhere doing street actions. And this is not just about truthing if you're out there and you're all mainstream. You don't want to call it whatever, you know, it's been called before. Find something. You know, if you don't want to take any of the good ideas, you know, which is really stupid. But, you know, if you don't want to take any of the good ideas that have been thought of and at least hear them, evaluate them, you know, use them to help develop your own or whatever, then fine. Then, you know, just do your thing. But understand there's a thing to do. If men and women together, if men are scrapping on this New World Order tip here in Canada, it's over for them. They'll retreat to the shadows. Like, we won't see wholesale changes, but, you know, she'll come home and, you know, she'll be chewing gum and he'll be like, you know, hey, honey, you know, I want you to just chew some different gum. And she's like, oh, why? But I love, you know, Dentine Super Springer Make Me Sexier Mist. It's delicious. And, you know, he'll say, honey, it's got aspartame in it. And aspartame, you know, eats holes in your brain. And, you know, for those of you folks out there, you may not mention this to her, but Donald Rumsfeld was the head of Searle, G.D. Searle, I think, was the company back in the 80s. that approved. Well, they didn't approve it, actually. The scientists said, this is crazy. This kills the rats. This is, we can't approve this. And Rumsfeld said, you finished testing? Yeah. What does it do? This, 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 and this. And Rumsfeld says, awesome. We're going to put it out in 5,000 products. I was starting with Tab, you know, Tab or whatever. introducing Diet Coke and all that stuff. And it actually makes you fatter by messing with your body's metabolism. So it actually makes it harder for some people to keep their weight down drinking that crap. But also it eats holes in your brain because it turns into formaldehyde in there. That's no good for your brain. Yeah, after you're dead, maybe, to preserve it. But right now, it preserves itself. It's just fine, you know, unless you break it. And so, you know, maybe she'll argue with you in the same way that we've all been taught to. Oh, the slave plantation thing, right. On the slave plantations, you know, to make sure the black slaves wouldn't rebel, they made women in charge of the household. And they kind of tried to make that cultural practice there and tried to make the women be the boss of the men. Because they knew in a situation like that, you know, women aren't necessarily en masse. I'm not saying there's a couple of UFC chicks out there that kick the snot out of me. There's no doubt about that. You know, maybe even a couple of Ryerson field hockey players. You know, I don't know. Whatever. But that's that has nothing to do with your survival as a tribe, with the Toronto tribe's survival here, you know, halfway through the 10th year in the 21st century. It has nothing to do with it. You know, ladies are out there, you know, and I'm you know, I've been here for a while. Yeah, I've been in the city for my whole life. So, you know, despite all the evidence, you're not dealing with a chimp here that doesn't know what he's talking about. and so archetypically, the slave masters knew on the slave plantation that if they didn't do this or something like it, then these big black guys might kick the crap out of them. And it's true. They might. They might. I mean, they might just rebel. They might be like, I'm sick of this. And a bunch of guys give each other the little you know, signal, and they all, you know, rush the, you know, guy with the whip and gun. And maybe a couple of them get shot, but maybe the rest of them think, hey, we all kind of agreed at this point it was worth a couple of us getting shot. You know, let's go. So that's what they've tried to do. And then in the modern version of that is things like Everybody Loves Raymond. You know, where she's like, Raymond, take out the trash. And Raymond's, oh, honey, you know, I just got home and I put my, my feet up and I'm just watching the game and it just started. Raymond, you know, if you get into that game, the trash won't be out for an hour and the house will stink. Oh, all right, honey, you're probably right. You know, and all this crap. They did that to us. They did that to us. No more, you know, Ward and June Cleaver, you know, where, you know, hello, June, hello, Ward, you know, comes in. He feels like a king. And he sticks around and he's like, I'm not getting this anywhere else. I'm not getting this anywhere. I'm not getting this from any other woman. I'm not getting this from any other family. I'm not getting this nowhere. So I'm sticking around. And these days, through the fault of our social engineers, you know, women, I've told this to them, you can turn your man into a liar or a wussy because you're so beautiful. You're so sweet. You got what we need. and so you can do that to us. There's no doubt. Now, I've had it happen to me. And I've seen it happen way more often than it's happened to me. I've seen it happen to terrifying proportions where I decide, all right, screw this. I'm going to go find out what's going on. That was like 5 years ago. So more than that to some degree, but you know, in a more intense way. And the smart, you know, girls I know get this, they get this explanation. And they're flattered, I guess, I don't know. It's a mixed bag, but the smart girls I know eventually get the point. The point is that there's nothing a woman hates worse than when her man is a liar or a wussy. There's nothing that drives him up the wall. If he thinks you're lying, you might be cheating, you might be this, you might be that, you can't trust her, you can't tell her, you don't talk to her, no. You know? And if he's a wussy, then he's no good, good for nothing, this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get together with your friends, and I was at a house, and this lovely, lovely woman who I call Chicasso, because she is a lovely artist, sold lots of her work and works on wine bottles and so on. And so, give out a real name, but forget it right now. Maybe I'll do that next week. So she gets back, and I'm chilling, and I'm hanging with a couple of buddies, and they're roommates of this couple they live with or whatever. And she is pissed. She's just so happy to get back home and relax after hanging out with her friends. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. You know, I don't, you know, quote unquote, just chill out and kick it as often as I used to. So I rely on these little slices of life that nobody got a reason to tell me. Nobody trying to impress me. You know, nobody trying to impress me. I mean, some people do sometimes these days, you know, and so on. But I'm saying in a situation like this, she just venting. You know, I'm not there. I'm there, said hello, but I'm not there. She just talking some smack that she feels she can in a comfortable environment. And she says that, all we did was complain about our boyfriends. That's all we did. Whining about this, whining about that, you know. And her boyfriend was right there going, interesting, you know. Although he knew, they have a good relationship, so he knew. They didn't, she didn't, you know, go at him too much or whatever. Maybe just to make conversation. But you know, there was that. I had another friend that was pregnant, and she and the dude, you know, are having some issues. And her girlfriends are saying, you know, don't talk to him until he apologizes. And says I'm sorry and kisses your butt or whatever. And instead of doing that, he just sort of arranged to pick her up, went for a drive and a talk, and yada, yada, yada. And I'm not going to air out their biz, whoever they are. But the point is that I told her, I said, your friends are not qualified to tell you what to do. And it's not their fault. But you're going to have to think for yourself in this world. When they're miserable about, or they're at least getting things wrong, and they're, you know, she says they're always complaining about their relationships, and then they're trying to give you advice on how to fix yours, and they're getting all this stuff from magazines and videos and there's all sorts of nonsense out there, and so that brings us back here on Canada Day, and you know, with 5 minutes left, the phone number is 416-595-1655. If you have anything to share or add on these issues, I do have an Eye and Eye magazine there. Ah, screw all that crap. So here, because we are entering into solutions now. Like, this is the solutions part of it, you know. I kind of said, you know, a few months back, because, you know, I'm a long-term thinker when it comes to these things. That's why when martial law showed up, I wasn't surprised. You know, I wasn't, the next time it shows up, they're probably just going to throw me in the back of a van, you know. 2 weeks before the G20, you know, ship me off somewhere and say, yeah, you know what? Whatever you're going to do or whatever you're going to say, don't. Just don't. Okay? Thank you. And even myself, I felt, I know how these operations go. You know, I mean, that's why I was active the week before, you know, when the wall was going up and stuff and you know, bumping into the new ID law where they can just stop an ID for anything. I got stopped for thought crime, for my headphones on and a pissed off look. And a big backpack and sunglasses and buy some nice cops. And after a security guard called them and so on. So, you know, it wasn't the end of the world, but it's looking like it's on the, you know, it's getting closer to it. And so, you know, if you have any music out there, because I start off the show with people would rather take their nothing than anyone else's something. Now, personally, music gets me going. Now, other things do too. You know, I get me going just by thinking of what I can think of. Because I understand English, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't be listening. And if you understand English in this culture here in Communist Canada, then, you know, you should have no problems understanding, you know, what's being said or done or sold. That's really stupid, you know. All the candidates for city councilor, for mayor, where are they at in terms of this whole G20 martial law issue? You know, where are they at? Because if they don't say anything, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get people that, you know, oh, they're scared to this, or they're scared to talk about that, or they don't want to lose their connection to this, or, you know, they don't want to be seen as the whatever, and they, you know, maybe they just want to, maybe all they want to do, because I still want to run for mayor, but I do not want to run for mayor where people are using my run for mayor just so they can get some shine. That's not how this game works. Not against the New World Order. If this was Entourage, hey, a body in the limo, let's go. And then if you get salty at me, then we'll just have an episode where you're salty at me. And you go bugger off. But in this game is a lot different. You know, I don't want fans. I want peers. I'd rather have 10 peers than 10 million fans. Because if I had 10 million fans in this country listening to this show right now, here on Canada Day, thinking it was a good idea to do so, then we'd have martial law again. You know, people would understand what it is fairly clearly from, you know, hearing these shows and maybe other research they do. You know, and they'd go, oh, yeah, this is it. This is, oh, they've moved on from just IDing and stopping and IDing people to needing to question people. So now they're doing renditions and throwing people in the back of cars and vans and this and that. And, you know, so much things have been damaged and broken that it's a heightened state of this. And so we just got to grab people and it's better to be safe than sorry and all that crap. It's already happened. I mean, what do you think Guantanamo Bay is? Yeah, that was 9 years ago they set that thing up. And they've been torturing people there publicly for like 9 years. So this is here. We got a taste of what the first part of that is, you know, the occupation of a city by armed forces. And I got great news for you on that, by the way. Some great news, because I can't, you know, you can't just, you want people crapping their baggy or skinny pants out there. The great news is that I have noticed. excuse me. I've noticed an epidemic of the blue flu going around this city. The blue flu. For those of you out there who don't know what the blue flu is, it means that I ain't seen no cops yesterday. I ain't seen no cops the day before. And I ain't even seen no cops the day before. You know, and I'm not saying no cops, but I'm saying on a typical day in Toronto, these days, back when I was a kid, it was once a day, you might see a cop car, but on a typical day in Toronto, you see a cop car every half an hour, every hour, every half an hour, whatever. And I'm patrolling the streets. Like I noticed this when I'm just listening to headphones and trying to think of goofy stuff to say on the radio, you know, or wherever. Now I'm literally patrolling the streets and I'm checking out the streets. And I'm like, where the hell are you guys? I'm just spending a week and a half looking for you. You know, I'm not because I want to do anything, but just because I want to know what the hell is the state up to? What are they ordering? You know, like, what are they ordering guys, our guys with guns and knives and sticks who form an imposing presence when they're all together, especially when they've been asked to look at us like we could all be suspects. What are you asking them to do? And they chilled out, you know, fairly early during the week. Early on last week, before the weekend, rather, they were crazy and, you know, just really, really hopped up on Tuesday when I saw them. But by Wednesday, Thursday, they'd started to get the point of this. And so I think anyway, I don't know. But that was last week. And then flash forward to this week. The last 2-3 days, I've noticed hardly any police cars on the streets. And internally, as you know, Chief Bill Blair is just doing what he's doing. I'm not pro Bill Blair. You know, I don't know enough about Bill Blair to go off on Bill Blair, but I'm going to find out a bit more about him based on what the hell has just happened recently. But regardless of what Mr. Blair's doing, he's just running PR cover. You know, there's people, there's PR people, public relations, spin, propaganda. Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, came up with this in the early 1900s. Our entire culture's run on that. You know, there's huge departments, marketing, advertising, spin. Billions of dollars are spent. When they spend like, you know, $1 million for 30 seconds of Super Bowl time, it's because they think that'll work. And they think this whole model of advertising, because it does. And it's used by lots of people. So we got to clarify the truth about this world for each other. But regardless, back to Mr. Blair, the idea of saying, you know, yeah, we just let the protesters burn cop cars, you know, as a diversion distractionary tactic. It's just like, you don't let anybody else throw a tantrum and break your stuff. These black bloc tourists. Fine. If that's what you're going to do, then you're going to let some Canadians break some stuff too. All right. I'm going to get a license for this. I'm going to get Mr. Blair's signature on a license that says, all right, BK, once in a while, when you get really mad, to avoid you just snapping and hitting a guy, you know, for not taking a 1x3-inch piece of paper, with, the risks of vaccines and where he can get exemption forms, just so we can investigate them if he happens to have a kid. Cause I might hit you if you don't take it. I know I shouldn't. I shouldn't hit you. We can settle that later. You can hit me back, you know, or you can call the cops and, you know, I'll get counseling or community service or do, you know, 30 days in jail or something. And I don't want to hit you, but I might hit you if you're a guy and you don't take a little 1x3-inch piece of paper with the risks of vaccines and where you can get exemption forms. I might hit you. I'm just letting you know that. Just so you know what the situation is. And you might run if you'd heard this. But you might just say, you know what, if you don't take it, you might get hit and then you might hit me back and kill me. But I'm just saying that's the way I feel about it. But whatever, I'm going to go to Mr. Blair and I'm going to say, you know, to avoid BK, you know, just wailing on guys for not manning up and defending this country when there's chicks here and old people and kids too. If it was just guys, we could all be lazy. You know, if it was guys, if it was me and Mr. Bill Watson coming up next with your 4-hour brilliant jazz bunge experience, then the two of us could argue, you know, for half the day about, you know, who should push the car out of the ditch or out of the snowbank and who should steer the wheel to make sure it goes in the right direction and doesn't hit anything else. And he could be like, ah, BK, you're young and you're this and that. And I could be like, ah, Bill, you're tougher than me. We both know that. And we could argue for like a half, you know, we could just argue all. But if there's a chick there, then it's like, all right, look, you get in. You turn the wheel. Yeah, just turn a little bit to the left while I push. And yeah, we'll see how this goes. And so to avoid hitting anybody, I'm going to go to Mr. Blair to get a permit, just like the Black Bloc have, to burn police cars. If, in fact, that is what the situation is. But I think that they were provocateurs by spooks or mercs or cops or whoever, just criminal elements inside the government get, you know, people to do this. That's why we got to expose the fact that 9/11 was an inside job, and the global warming rapture, too. The green taxes are coming in hard and heavy. They got to fund the world government. Who do people pay taxes to? Government. Who do governments pay green taxes to? Global government. And so that's what the nationwide carbon taxes are. So two major myths. And of course, keep your eyes on the martial law. And if you're a man, man up for this. If you're a woman, look into things that can save your mind, your body and soul. But for the heavy lifting on these issues, take into the streets, as it were, defending your homes and neighborhoods and blocks, as it were. I'll tag up your hood. If you email me, blackchristian@gmail.com, I'll come over and tag up your hood for a couple hours with some information that can save all your butts. But if it's your hood, why am I doing it? Before Mr. Watson takes over, I just want to wish everybody out there a happy, safe, enjoyable Canada Day. And keep in mind what just happened. But keep in mind that we got a bunch of great people here to make sure that makes it worth that never happening again. It's worth it to do things, and it's worth it to look at this where you live like that. You'll have to trust me on this because it'll give you incredible energy. And again, you'll have to trust me on this. Great websites to go to include Infowars.com. Get the big picture going on. Possible World War III starting soon with Iran. So good to at least, you know, get, you know, tweet about it. Naturalnews.com for great health news. TrendsResearch.com for great wealth news. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, great news, overviews in general. Alan Watts, brilliant work. HenryMakow.com for some excellent essays, analysis, and a history of our socialization, including male-female relationships. ThePinkCross.org for the porn industry. We're really into porn here in Toronto, and we're not really into each other. And there's a relationship there. So thepinkcross.org to at least get another perspective on that subject. And locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Still my guys, still my group. I feel bad for them. I know that I talk about them on the radio sometimes. I'm just trying to be honest about everything I say. But I wish the nearly 400 members, because there was a G20-related spike, best of luck in getting out there and doing something that makes them feel good. And whatever that is. Assuming the Toronto Truth Seekers, they'll figure it out. Then at Conspiracy Culture and conspiracyculture.com, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Patrick and Candida provide brilliant information on this for interest and practical use, which can be interest and can be even more. And pressfortruth.ca, my colleagues Dan Dix, Brian Law, Steve Davies, and many others working to bring you the best reporting from the recent G20 summit. It has been the week for me anyway, folks, of the Toronto G20 aftermath, surviving the world government, the world leaders, the psychopathic world government, martial law. And so on that note, I'll leave you with a bit of State of the Union here on July 1st, Canada Day. Wish you all a happy Canada Day once again. Give you over to Mr. Bill Watson. And keep in mind out there, folks, they get power by keeping secrets. We get power by exposing them. And so share some valuable information that you genuinely you can stand behind, that you think can improve someone's lives. And as they start to see this alternate information pipeline, that will help indict the system. Rome wasn't built in a day, and it won't get taken down in a day. But, if you go to Italy, you can start to see the cracks in the foundation, so it's possible. Peace out, everybody.